What if I told you weight loss is not about willpower, cutting carbs, or working harder in the gym, but instead comes down to flipping a specific switch in your body, one that helps flush out unnecessary calories? Heart surgeon and nutrition expert Dr. Stephen Gundry is revealing a new, simple, but insanely effective way to help get a slim, energized, and healthy body with no deprivation, restrictions, or fads. MCT Wellness can help you flip that switch yourself from the comfort of your own home. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. All you do is add a scoop to water and enjoy. Help unlock your body's potential by going to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Welcome to Jesse Wiseman's Crime Corner.
Spooky edition.
You want me to change the intro song or something?
This is Halloween. This is Halloween. Yeah, change the intro to some kind of like...
Making Christmas, la-la-la.
No.
Wait, something.
It's Halloween.
Something like
Two
that.
2 months and we'll get into the Christmas episode.
But that's the song from that.
Maybe some ghouls in the background of the song.
Something with a theremin in it?
Yeah. Like, same intro, but just like a little more
jingle
of like,
bells.
Bro, what? Anyways...
The Nightmare Before Christmas really threw you off.
Yeah, we don't know how. Yeah.
Authorities are desperately searching for a killer accused of going on a rampage.
The search for a possible serial killer.
An urgent manhunt for a man authorities believe is behind a triple killing spree.
Police here speculating that a possible serial killer may have struck again.
I told her to get out of the car, and that's when she became afraid, and then I shot her.
We don't know how much Joel's gonna participate, and that's fine. That's fine.
I like Halloween.
Good.
Cool.
Okay, cool. So we are getting into spooky season. So we've got a couple. This is our easing in. Which this story I really like because it shaped our childhood, I feel like.
Absolutely.
And I only found out about the real story behind it.
Cinemax.
Recently. What?
Cinemax shaped our childhoods. Right?
Okay, I can't disagree with that, but we're talking about...
No, I mean, he's right.
Halloween, yeah.
Oh, it's Halloween themed.
Yeah, Halloween themed.
Yeah.
So it's the Halloween episode of the Red Shoe Diaries. You can just relate it to that.
Okay.
Was that a Cinemax show?
I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
Red Shoe Diaries? That was
don't
Cinemax,
act like you don't
it?
Know.
Oh, no, I watched it. I'll definitely admit
to
that.
Oh, okay. You just didn't know if it was Cinemax.
Yeah, it's been so long, I can't remember.
Okay.
Sick.
So, yeah, we're going to get into Halloween spookiness.
Murder?
Yeah.
Somebody does die in this one.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
This guy killed an entire holiday.
Yes. I think the only thing I'll say about this is, do you guys remember when you would go trick-or-treating at a certain age that there was this idea that you had to check all your candy after because there would be poison. People would poison your camera candy or put razor blades and stuff, right? Yeah. Did we all have that?
Make sure none of the candies are already open.
Yeah.
Partially open.
Like the stuff, we had to like lay it all out. Our parents had to go through, take out some stuff that they felt didn't feel right. Did we all have that same kind of, whether your parents went through it or not, you kind of knew it was out there. Like you heard it.
Yeah.
My mom didn't do that.
But it was my friend's parents for me because I was in a Christian cult at the time, so it was friend's parents that had to introduce me to Halloween. I had no idea you were even supposed to check your candy until we got back to my friend's house. I'm like, all right, lay all your candy out. I'm like, what the
and
fuck
you're like,
for?
And what? Why? Exactly. Like, it was just kind of like, you know?
It's like, fuck it, let it kill me. I love candy.
I feel like there was a point, and even now, like, we don't even think about that, right? Or is it kind of candy? In the back of your mind? Like, because I go trick-or-treating with kids now. I have kids. And I don't think I've ever been like, let's lay it all out. You know, there was a point where it kind of shifted. And I think maybe it's because we learned more about the origins of those big, scary things, panic.
Yeah.
Widespread panic things that happen. But it's interesting because everyone I talked to was like, yeah, I remember that. Like, for sure. It was, maybe it was just a couple years or a certain generation, but. It was a big deal every Halloween.
Yeah,
like, watch out.
Everybody knows the outcome, but not everybody actually knows the story that led
why
to
it got so, where everyone was so scared of it.
Yeah.
And this was like before internet really. Mm-hmm. So it's like, how did all these, you know what I mean? Like how does that spread?
Urban legends.
The panic
spreads
crazier than like a fucking, than we spread stuff now.
Oh yeah.
Goes worldwide. But anyway, we thought this would be a fun way to kind of, you know, maybe put a little bit of fear back in you. You know? Because when you do hear about it, you go, okay, it could still happen.
It could still happen.
Right? Yeah.
I think it'd be even easier now. Considering, like, you can buy packaging machines and shit like that for all your at-home shops.
You
can probably order
the only thing that was weird was the razor blades in, like, an apple. Where I go... But how without me knowing that there's a razor blade? Do you know what I'm saying?
And American children don't eat apples.
No. Like,
thank
those
God.
Would be thrown away immediately.
Not on Halloween.
It would have to be like, oh, razor blade and the Snickers, right? But you're like, how do you not? How would you not?
I was like, who was...
See that?
Somebody was mentioning earlier the needles in the candy bars.
Yeah.
They were eating candy bars that were already open. Like, what kind of fucking sociopath
exactly.
does that?
There's certain things where you go, okay.
But it's just going to
have that
coming.
Just a razor blade. It's not that big a deal.
No, yeah, no big deal.
That
I
one was a crazy one.
The
poison candy, you go, okay, how am I going to know? But a razor blade. That was a stretch.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? That was a lot. But we were still scared of it.
Yeah.
Anyways, so this is going to be the not so fun story of how that
the man who killed Halloween. Seems like every year the media finds some new danger for parents across the U.S. to freak out about. In the 80s and 90s, the news had people convinced that Satan worshippers had infiltrated daycare centers and schools across the country.
We should do that one. That one's
crazy. We definitely have to do that
one.
In the early 2000s, teenagers getting high by inhaling fumes from 2-liter bottles filled with human feces was apparently all the rage. Did you guys ever get into Jankum?
Is that real?
Jankum.
What?
Yeah, Jankum.
What do you do?
Why do you say it so casually?
Because it's been
around.
Did you
do it?
No, I never tried it.
What's it? What is it again?
It's called Jankum, and it's fake. Like, nobody ever actually
did it. No one ever did it. Okay.
No, it was like an internet hoax that went around. It got on the news, freaked out a bunch of parents.
Like the Tide Pod, maybe? Kind of?
Similar to that, but people actually did end up eating Tide Pods. I don't think anybody ever tried Jankum, because to make
Jankum... There has to be one person that does.
Actually, yeah.
You know what I mean?
About it, I'm sure probably
how do you do it?
Somebody we know probably.
All right, how do you make Jankum?
You take a 2-liter bottle, and it's been a while, so I don't remember
it's
the
been
exact
a while.
Ingredients. You take a 2-liter bottle, you fill it about halfway up with human feces and maybe a little pee.
Just I've
like
done
some,
that before.
Some real nasty stuff. But then you miss the second step. You put a balloon over the top of it. So the balloon fills up with all the gas that's raising off of it.
And
then you take that gas and you inhale it.
Oh!
And that is Jankum.
That's definitely been done.
I'm sure somebody
dude.
I'm sure somebody tried it, but I can't imagine that's going to get you high. Tons.
Oh, they say it gets right? you high? No, it's just supposed to gross you out.
No, so they weren't even doing it to get high. They were just doing it for fun.
Yeah, I would do that for fun.
Now I need to know, like, the science.
Yeah, no, how long does the balloon...
It wouldn't get you.
No, because it's just going to be put... I think it's at most gas it's going to be putting off, like, point. Methane.
But what's I'm cool sure is the balloon's going to fill up.
Yeah, but it's not going to be pure methane.
Right.
The balloon's going to fill up with your own stuff.
With the gases coming from your own
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, that's so what's cool about
you're
it.
You're talking about it like it's an arts and crafts...
Yeah, you poop and pee in a bottle, then you watch a balloon grow. It's awesome.
This is where balloons come from.
That's so fucked up. Okay, anyways.
These panics have all come and gone, eventually becoming nothing more than a punchline to a joke, similar to Jankum. Mm-hmm. Except for one. For nearly 50 years now, we have had a nationwide Halloween tradition of checking bags of candy for razor blades, drugs, and poison. And there's a good reason that this yearly hysteria has been around for half a century. This one is actually based on facts. This is the story of the man who killed Halloween.
Can you imagine having that name?
Oh, it'd be fun.
Having that put on you.
It'd be an awesome title, but I don't think this guy
killed Halloween. On Halloween night in 1974, 8-year-old Timothy O'Brien returned home from a night of trick-or-treating in Pasadena, Texas. After sharing some of his candy with his friends, Timothy changed into his pajamas and got ready for bed. Before going to sleep, he asked his dad if he could have some of the candy he had collected. His father said yes, but he could only have one piece. Timothy chose a pixie stick.
Ooh. Now, is pixie stick, that's the singular of pixie sticks, right?
Sure.
It was driving like me crazy while I was writing.
It's like Lego.
Yeah, well, Lego,
it's a brand thing, isn't it?
It's called pixie stick.
Well, it's pixie... It's P-I-X-Y-S-T-I-X, which implies a plural, but it's not actually an S.
That's just a logo.
So the singular would be pixie stick, I would assume. I don't know.
Oh, it's X?
Yeah, yeah. I lost sleep over it while I was writing this.
Yeah, because you wrote stick.
Well, because it's singular. Because if I said he chose a pixie sticks, that doesn't sound right, right?
Yeah, but again, it's like a branding thing, like a Lego. Do you put together Lego or do you put together Legos?
I put together Legos.
No.
No, you don't.
Lego.
I'm not going to have some fucking Dutch person tell me how to pronounce their word. I'll pronounce it my way. I think they're Danish or something like that.
Lego?
Mm-hmm.
Lego? Anyway. Timothy opened... So, pixie stick, and this is the... there's two different kinds. There's the little paper ones, right? Those, like, little... Just a little shot of sugar.
Those are the bomb.
And then there's the big plastic ones.
Oh, I remember those, too.
Yeah, so these are the ones they got, which is, like, huge. Remember back in the day, if you got the big plastic pixie stick? Dude.
I don't think I ever even had any of those. What? I only got the little paper ones. We were poor.
Oh, you were poor. Yeah. I was just going to say. You had money troubles. Timothy
afford the plastic pixie.
It's called stealing.
Yeah.
That's how I got them.
How did any of us get fucking candy?
I'm not going to steal pixie sticks. I'll steal something better.
So, Timothy opened the plastic tube. I think he actually needed his dad to cut off the top. Only to notice that the contents were compacted, which is like, you know, if sugar gets a little wet, it's going to be not going to just pour right out. he poured the candy, compacted, making it difficult to pour out. After getting some help loosening the powder, I think from his dad.
His dad got his credit card out and knew.
Yeah, he's like, exactly this is how you do it, buddy. No, he just kind of rolled it. So
tip,
after he got some
don't
help.
Don't throw away the plastic tube. You can cut a little piece off
yeah,
of that.
Yeah, he's like, give that to daddy. after he got help loosening the powder, he poured the candy into his mouth. Timothy noticed right away that the candy tasted unnaturally bitter. His father gave him a glass of Kool-Aid to wash away the taste, but the bitter flavor remained. Suddenly, Timothy ran into the bathroom where he began to vomit. Vomiting is a natural reaction to some Halloween candy, such as candy corn or circus peanuts.
Ugh.
Gross.
I love both of those.
Really?
Circus peanuts?
Does that mean they're in the shell?
No, circus peanuts are those like, you know, those foamy like, orange
They're right, almost like a hard marshmallow. So yeah, disgusting.
I do like candy corn though.
No, we'll have to talk.
I actually like candy corn.
Really? Oh my god, both of you?
Yep.
Get out.
I think it's more common now. It's almost like people jumped on the bandwagon. You know, like people are like, I hate the word moist, and it's like, no, you don't. Not everybody does.
I don't really care about the word moist, but if you tried to offer me some candy corn the other day and I almost punched him.
I like candy corn because it's not too sweet.
Good.
Yeah, it's not too sweet. It kind of tastes like plastic.
It's super sweet.
And you can eat a lot of it.
It's super sweet. It's all sugar. Waxy.
It's waxy. Sugar. That's the word I was looking for.
I like the texture. You know what I mean?
And you can even break off the it in three chunks based off the color changes.
I think if you, I think if we
you're
did a real,
trying to win me over with segregation, it's not going to work, Joel.
A real poll of a real poll of independent thinkers, you know, and not just bandwagon jumpers, right? I think we'd find that more people actually like candy corn than say that they hate it.
That I would believe.
I think there's more people that don't really mind the
it's
word
the 1%
moist.
It's just so loud all the
Do you
time.
Know what I mean?
Yeah.
But people have made it like their personality to be like, and I don't like, and I can't stand the word moist.
Oh, I don't like moist.
Don't even get me started on moist.
Yeah, but
like, as in, it's cool.
Not that it's cool, but there's people that's like, I can't even hear it.
Like,
right?
You think it's a gross word?
I just think it's like what it's used for in slang. I think it's grosses me out.
I'm saying like if you're going to use it in a real way, like that cake was.
Moist.
Right.
Makes me think of vaginas.
You don't have to say, well, yeah, me too, but anyway.
So, I'll turn off my mic.
Go to sleep, dude. So, vomiting is a natural reaction to some Halloween candy. Candy corn, circus peanuts, but Timothy had never had an issue with pixie sticks. His vomiting continued to worsen and was soon joined by uncontrollable convulsions. Timothy's father, Ronald O'Brien, lifted the young boy into his arms in an attempt to help ease the convulsions, but he lost consciousness and went limp. He died en route to the hospital less than an hour after eating the candy.
Damn.
Yeah.
Timmy.
And that's got to be... Like, that's just an unimaginable nightmare. You just come home from a nice evening out trick-or-treating, and then less than an hour later,
that's
your child's dead.
That's how the panic mass hysteria starts, right? Where the thing is so unimaginable and, like, crazy that you're just like, I can't. Do you know what I mean?
Isn't that fast, too, for poison to kill you? Well, I guess you're a kid.
Depending on the poison, but
Yeah, he just hadn't built up his tolerance for Iocane powder, I guess. It was clear that Timothy O'Brien had died from some sort of poisoning, with the most likely culprit being the pixie stick. This theory was proven to be true when police discovered obvious signs of tampering on the tube containing the candy. The top of the packaging had been clipped off and then resealed with a single staple. Police notified parents in the neighborhood to be on the lookout for pixie sticks in their child's Halloween candy. Four were quickly recovered, one of which was in O'Brien's daughter Elizabeth's candy bag, so he almost lost two kids that night.
Oh my god.
I've eaten out of a big pixie sticks that were stapled like that. For sure. When you said that, I'm like, no, that's how they come.
With staples?
Yeah, with staples.
Yeah, it's weird that, I mean, I guess it's not weird they didn't notice, especially if it's, you know, a kid's candy. They're not like, wait, this is a staple, right?
But you can't fit a razor blade in a pixie stick, so I guess you don't have anything to worry about at that point.
I swear that's true. Maybe it's at the fair they do it like that. Ventura Fair.
Either that or your mom was trying to kill you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can't kill me, bitch. Who's dead now?
Joel just unknowingly has an immunity to cyanide now.
Yeah.
Thankfully, Elizabeth hadn't gotten around to eating it. Two additional laced pixie sticks were found in the possession of the children that lived next door to the O'Brien family. They had been out trick-or-treating with Timothy and had apparently gotten the deadly candy from the same house Timothy did. The last poison pixie stick to be found was discovered late the following evening. Another couple from the neighborhood remembered that their son went trick-or-treating in the same area and had also come home with pixie sticks. Upon hearing the news of the possible danger, they frantically searched through their son's candy, but the pixie stick was nowhere to be found. They immediately rushed to check on their son. When they found him, he was lying motionless in his bed with a pixie stick in his hand.
unopened.
Damn. Well, you didn't have to blow the surprise.
Sorry. Sorry.
No, we explain it here.
What is that guy? What's he trying to do? Is he trying to weed out all the gay kids?
Hey,
give them all. Send out a bunch of pixie sticks. I mean,
we don't know.
And it's like we were talking about before the show. If I go around and put razor blades in all the candy this year, I can spot all the kids who don't have a lot of parental supervision.
Yeah, like what's the point of that? I never understand. You know, like the Tylenol murders. It's like you don't even get to see your victims, but you get to see the hysteria.
And you would read about it in the news and everything like that. But also the same thing with like the people that I've heard about, people that have gone to, or at least one case of people going to a playground and pushing heated razor blades through the plastic slide. So when kids slide down, just
oh my God.
Oh, that just gave me
right?
Oh, God.
Coop, damn it. That's never happened, dude.
No, that one did happen.
When? Where? One time.
I would have to look it up, but I guarantee at least one case.
Oh, I can imagine that thing ripping my ass.
Because it's like, with my kid, I'm like, okay. And it's like a tube slide, and I'm like, come on down.
Oh.
Okay. And they like, calm down. And it's just like.
Blood.
Oh man, yeah.
Oh God,
Coop, why'd you say that? Why'd you say it?
Well, what if
why'd you tell the story?
What if you get lucky and you thread the needle and it goes through like you're swiping a credit card and you're like, wait, my pants are ripped. It could happen. Is all I'm saying.
Cut your sack in half.
Shit. But it's like you say that people used to blah blah blah. It's probably happened one time.
That one place. It happened one time. Okay. And I'm pretty sure it was in California. I'll look it up and see if I can find some info.
Anyways.
In Santa Barbara, California, where you were living?
Yeah, I think I still have pictures. I mean, I think it's in my diary.
Yeah, I think it happened just real close to my house. Like, okay. Much to the relief of the frantic couple, their son was only sleeping. He had taken the candy out with the intention of eating it, but had thankfully fallen asleep. Unbeknownst to the young boy, he had narrowly escaped death. When tested, the pixie stick was revealed to have been laced with enough cyanide to kill 3 full-grown adults.
Damn. Why?
Where do you get cyanide?
That is a very good question. To this day, they have no idea where the murderer got the cyanide.
Why is he so mad at the kids?
Kids suck.
Yeah, I mean, like you could see someone. Here,
I don't like kids, but I'm not poisoning them.
Right.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't either. That is,
but it's not
a far
leap.
Well, you would, but
no, I wouldn't. Dude, you can. Kids are like the one type of people that I can actually reliably beat up.
Yeah.
Poison them.
Yeah, you don't need to poison them.
Power fantasy.
News of Timothy's death spread quickly through the community, resulting in a wave of concerned parents dumping their Halloween candy at the local police station. Fuck that.
Never.
Oh, the police were stoked, though.
Right? And the kids were just like, oh, God. While this helped get potentially poisoned candy off of the streets, it didn't do anything to pinpoint the source of the laced pixie stick. No other reports of poisoning had come in, so the investigators had to go off of what little information Ronald O'Brien was able to pass on to them. According to Ronald, the pixie stick had come from a house that they had initially bypassed because nobody answered the door. As they walked away, he heard the front door open and a stranger handed him 6 pixie sticks. He didn't get a clear look at the person, but he was sure it was a man due to the hairy arm that reached through the partially opened door.
Now, Ronald. Shame on Ronald for
Ronald,
that one.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This seems legit. Let me pass it out to my kids and their friends. You know?
I mean, stranger just doesn't even open the door or say anything. Just this hairy arm reaches
hairy
out.
Hairy arm comes
Grinch
out.
Or something.
Yeah. And he's like, sweet, big pixie sticks. The thing is, you can't turn those down.
They're the big ones. I keep forgetting
they're
the big ones.
You know because you're poor.
I mean, they could hand me a couple like fully unwrapped, like king-size candy bars, and I'm probably going to end up eating them.
For sure. So, but he was sure it was a man due to the hairy arm that reached the partially open door. After getting the candy, Ronald caught up with the group and passed the pixie stick out to the children in their group. With one pixie stick still left, Ronald handed it to the first child he saw passing by.
That happened to be a kid that they went to, or a kid of a family that they went to church with. And that was the kid that they found sleeping in bed, holding on to the pixie stick.
Okay.
O'Brien had chaperoned his son, Timothy, and his daughter, Elizabeth, and the two neighbor children while they went door-to-door collecting candy. And I believe the neighbor, his neighbor, the adult, at least one of them went with him, but they weren't, like, together in a cohesive group. They were just kind of help keeping an eye on all the kids.
Yeah.
It was back in the 70s.
Dude, Halloween, like, is fucking chaos. Like,
oh God,
you don't need to kill a kid. You could literally just do snatch. Like, I mean, it is chaos. Do you know what I mean?
If you ever want to replace your kid, just go out on Halloeen.
People in masks. Exactly. I always think that. I'm like, as far as the things that people do, it's like kids in masks running all over the place through the dark. The parents are like, where? You know what I mean? That is the time. The way that there's not more insane crimes like that happen on Halloween.
Yeah.
We're going to have to look into that. But you could even have like a...
If you get caught walking off with some kid that isn't yours, be like, oh, he had a mask on. I thought that was...
Yeah, oh, whoops. You know what I mean? Like, yeah.
My bad.
You could be carrying, like, I always think that too. Like, you'd be carrying a full-on dead body. And, like, it would be like, oh, ha, 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 fake, you know, like, whatever.
There was a case where some guy committed suicide by hanging himself in a tree in his front yard. But it was right around Halloween.
His front yard.
And people ignored it because they thought, oh, it was either...
Decorations.
I think it might have actually...
How is there not more of that?
That's a good idea.
I think it was on his balcony. I think it was on the balcony of an apartment complex or something like that. But people walked by, saw the body, and they were just like, oh, that's really good Halloween decoration.
Dude, are those people that have like that really funny decoration that they have like girl's hair and like an arm hanging out of their trunk? You're like, that's hilarious. You could also just... You know, like neighborhoods that go super hardcore, a person hanging out from a tree would be there the entire month. That's fucking crazy.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
If it's my Halloween decorations, they'll be there up until the day before Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah, me too.
I'm saying you kill yourself at the beginning. Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
Hang yourself and just chill the whole month out there.
Oh, man, eventually, like, because bodies that have been hanging by their neck long enough, their neck
stretched
out, and eventually it's going to fall off.
You got to do the research and stuff so you can, like, the goal is to have your dead body be in public as long as possible.
Fucking
that's a new viral challenge that all the YouTubers are going to be trying.
Dang.
Let's see Mr. Beast do that one. So,
hey, guys, I wanted to tell you about a new sponsor on Crime Corner that I'm really excited about. Mochi Health, M-O-C-H-I Health, Mochi Health. You guys know I have one soapbox, right? I have one thing that I will, you know, get a little preachy about and that's it. But you guys know what it is. Our healthcare system has a history of blaming people's weight on their, you know, bad behavior, it's a moral failing, you know, you're going to have to fix that first before we can help you with anything else. But in the meantime, we will, you know, treat your symptoms. Okay, I'm going to stop. But the reason why I love Mochi Health and that it's a perfect sponsor for me and my crazy soapbox is it's a telehealth platform that connects patients seeking weight loss treatment, whatever that means for you, they're connecting you guys to board certified doctors and dietitians to help determine what the best options and what the best plan is to get you to that, whatever goal you may have. Again, that could be GLP-1s, that could be GLP-1s for a little bit of time, coupled with, you know, their nutritionists that can help you get to a place where you may not be on GLP-1s anymore, which is probably everyone's goal. But they are going to talk to you and treat you as a patient that is individual, but it's all online. So you can, you know, access their services anywhere in the U.S. and you will be meeting with their team online. And you guys together, the doctor, the board certified nutritionist and doctor that you talk to, you guys can decide what it is that you want to do moving forward. They do have, you know, access to GLP-1s, Ozempic, Mounjaro, Zepbound, all of those versions of that, compounded versions of that. They connect the providers with the patients to discuss evidence-based weight loss strategies using every tool in their toolbox, licensed RDNs, MDs, they're certified in obesity medicine. You know, whatever you're dealing with, talk to the doctors at Mochi, and they will come up with, based on what you're telling them, fears, you know, your background, whatever it may be, they're going to come up with the best thing that's going to work for you and get you into a healthy place, right? Don't get me started. Don't get me started. With Mochi, their dietitians work hand in hand with your medication to create personalized nutrition plans that fit your lifestyle and that are going to get you to a place where this is going to be a big change in your life. I love Mochi. I love their approach. I love the way that they're trying to change the way healthcare works in this country, and especially how healthcare deals with obesity or weight or anything. I love that about them. Get started today. Go to joinmochi.com. Use promo code CRIMEJUICE. Just like how it sounds, guys. You know Crime Juice. Use promo code CRIMEJUICE to receive $40 off. That is a great deal. Go to joinmochi, MOCHI.com. Use promo code CRIMEJUICE to get $40 off. And listen, just talk to them. See if it's something that you want to do, if it's something that can help you. That's the kind of place that Mochi is. Check them out.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Went door-to-door collecting candy. Unfortunately, Ronald was unable to remember which house the pixie sticks had come from. On Halloween night, the weather had been cold and rainy, so O'Brien had only taken his children down two streets before returning home.
He didn't forget. He just remembered that it's the same place where he gets his drugs.
Yeah. I don't know how you forget the like one crazy house where just an arm came out.
Seems like it would be pretty easy to remember.
It would kind of stick in your mind.
Especially out of two streets.
Yeah.
You'd remember pretty easy, I would think. With the search area defined, the police had Ronald O'Brien walk them through the neighborhood in search of the source of the poison candy. Despite only having a handful of houses to choose from, Ronald couldn't seem to pinpoint which one the candy had come from. It took three trips through the neighborhood before Ronald finally settled on the home of a man named Courtney Melvin. And I do not trust a man with a girl's name.
Oh, and Courtney?
And he was an air traffic controller at the local airport. This potential lead quickly turned into a dead end when Mr. Melvin informed them that he had been working until 11 p.m. on Halloween night. Over 200 airport employees corroborated his story, so his alibi was rock solid.
They're all in on it.
Yep. they're like, are we sure, though? Murders. Yeah.
If they had the TSA around back then, I wouldn't put it past them. Longtime listeners of the show will know that in any murder case, the first suspects are the people closest to the victim. The murder of Timothy O'Brien was no different. The investigators were following every possible lead, and Ronald O'Brien himself was the only one that was gaining traction. His inability to remember which house he had gotten the candy from had already raised a red flag in their minds. When they started looking into his past, they uncovered enough red flags to decorate a circus.
Circus, circus.
Noise.
To put it lightly, Ronald O'Brien had a hard time holding down a job. In the decade preceding Timothy's murder, he had been fired from more than 20 different companies. This lack of work ethic didn't pair well with Ronald's spending habits, which resulted in him being over $100,000 in debt. Are there pictures of any of these people? No, because it was so...
No, I got some pixie sticks up.
There we go. See those. And so the staple, you're right.
So if it's underneath the paper on top, then you're not...
So if it's under the paper, or if you staple that paper, you're not really going to notice.
But they're stapled when you take the paper off.
Are they?
Yeah.
Or like sun.
Are you sure? I thought that they were like,
how are they
heat sealed shut?
Back no, then? Probably not back then. Dude. Probably the plastic is.
Like, they not, that like paper a clampy, over. Clampy?
Did they not have fire in the 70s yet?
No.
Is that a recent thing?
No, but how would you heat seal the paper?
The paper would probably be, but it was the plastic ones that Timothy got, right?
Those were the plastic ones. And these there's are the a piece of ones. Paper on the top. Can you look?
Yeah.
And so you staple that paper back onto on there, the, and then you wouldn't know.
The paper's what keeps it from leaking. You put the paper on it and then staple the paper to the straw.
So that's how they didn't know that it was like just a, it's not just like a staple on a piece of plastic. It was like that piece of paper on top and then the staple through the paper.
Through the paper would be more forgivable for me. I'd need to go look and see if, I'm sure that they heat sealed those plastic pixie sticks back in the day. There might still be a staple holding the paper.
I'm going to look.
Yeah, please.
I'm going to spend the rest of the show looking for
this. Yeah, please. Can we? This is pivotal. Jesus, nerds.
I'm going to have to look that up. They're probably heat sealed.
There's bigger ones. That's why I looked it up.
Bigger than that?
The one in my head that has the staple is like huge. It was like this huge straw. They didn't,
it wasn't that
it
one.
It had to be at the fair.
It was that one. Yeah.
Oh, by the way, 2023 in Anchorage, Alaska, a mother saved her daughter from running into razor blades on a slide. So it has happened even more than once, and it happened in 2023.
I thought you were going to say they invented sealing their plastic straws.
Yeah, fucking nerd. We were about to fucking kick you off the show, dude. So he was under, you looked that up. You looked that up, Joel.
Yeah, I will.
Being over $100,000 in debt. This is the equivalent of over $600,000 in 2024, because this was 1974. This financial strain had taken a toll on his marriage, and his wife was already seeking a divorce. Further investigation revealed that Ronald was in hot water with his current employer as well. His position as an optician?
Yeah, I guess it's like a step down from an optometrist. Like, he's not actually a doctor, but he can work at an optical place.
Gay.
he's only allowed to touch the front,
gay,
not the back.
Gay technician.
Gay.
At Texas State Optical was shaky at best due to him being under investigation for theft. What are you stealing?
Eyes?
Eyes.
Probably just money.
You're stealing eyes and selling it on the black market.
Yeah, he was stealing staples.
Sorry, we got to take this one. Doesn't work. And you're like, I can see out of it. You're like, nope, doesn't work.
Credit card was declined.
Yeah, got to take it. So Ronald was also about to lose his car and his home due to missed payments. He was on the verge of losing everything if he couldn't come up with some money in a hurry. At least there was one less mouth to feed at home. Every cloud has a silver lining.
Save a little bit of money by getting rid of that black hole of a stomach that Timothy had. If prostitution is the oldest job on earth, insurance fraud is a close second. In either case, someone's getting fucked. Instances of insurance fraud date all the way back to 300 BC. I didn't even know that they had insurance back then.
That doesn't sound right.
No, 300. They had insurance on cargo shipments and stuff like that. I actually looked into this because I...
Okay.
So I'm a nerd, as you would say.
Yeah, my God. No, I'm just kidding.
They date all the way back to 300 BC when a Greek merchant named Hegestratos, which I had to practice that name before I got here because it's a mouthful.
Right.
This pioneer realized that he could insure his cargo, offload it at a secret location, sink his ship, collect the insurance for the cargo, and then turn around and sell the cargo for a nice profit. His plan ultimately failed, but his spirit lived on in the hearts of countless soon-to-be felons.
Yeah, like it just kind of shows, like, our nature.
Yeah.
Is to just be...
to fuck, find some way to fuck people
since
over.
Since the dawn of time. Yeah. Wow.
And the way that he ended up getting caught, the cargo that he was transporting wasn't just a shipment of grain. He had actual fucking travelers that were on his ship, and they overheard him talking about sinking the ship. And they're like, wait a second, what the fuck?
Hey, man.
Can you drop us off, too?
Yeah.
So, yeah, he got busted.
You want to know what the pixie sticks were called when we were kids by our parents?
What?
According to this Reddit, parents would call them kitty cocaine.
Oh yeah. And they use it. Well, they use them in like pageants, right? So it was like,
get the energy up.
That's where, yeah, seriously. Really? Yeah.
Eat some pixie sticks.
Why, by the way, I'm thinking cocaine? Of going as JonBenet Ramsey for Halloween. Oh, God. Grown up.
Please do.
Flipper.
Yes. Please, oh. God, dress up as JonBenet.
I know. I can't. I live in a neighborhood. Here. Nah. Should I do it here? Oh, my God. The only place I could do it.
That's what you were talking about.
The only place I could do it is here.
The only place that matters is here.
Yeah. Absolutely right. Fuck them kids. Okay. Okay. You guys need to get it together for next week.
I'll be a pageant mom.
Wait, it's next week?
There you go.
I'll just scream at you the whole time and tell you to smile more.
Okay, I understand.
We know you do. You always do.
Always late.
You always understand.
But he always
you
gets
always
there.
Understand. Yeah.
In January of 1974, Ronald took out life insurance policies on both of his children worth $10,000 apiece. Can you still get life insurance policies on kids? Like, what would the...
Yeah. You can get a life insurance policy on anyone as long as you pay.
Why would you need one on a kid, though? Like,
It's just if they pass, like, they seem, you know, healthy and they pass all the tests of the insurance company itself, and it's up to them, and as long as you pay... Like, insurance companies are just as fucked up as the people that try and screw them over.
Oh, for sure.
Do you know
sure.
what I mean? Yeah. So, like, they're like, hey, you want to pay us? They probably make it more expensive, or I don't know, but...
It seems like allowing life insurance on children is kind of incentivizing either murder or neglect.
Right. So, yeah.
Or
what if you're, why would you take one out on a friend? Like, I could literally take an insurance policy out on you.
That's a good idea.
I thought you guys had insurance policies on all of us here.
Yeah.
Okay. That's going
to
pay out.
Yeah, because if you die, you're losing a certain amount to the company. So we're going to need to recoup that. You know what I'm saying? But
see, that makes sense to me. What money are you losing if you lose a kid? You're gaining money if you lose a kid because you don't have to like pay for their shit anymore.
Yeah, but if you can get a house because your kid dies on the bus because of that drunk bus driver, why not?
You know, it could be for anything. Funeral expenses, like anything.
Oh, okay,
that
funeral expenses makes sense.
Occurs, or if they die from something in the hospital, you can use it for, do you know what I mean? Like,
pay off
the hospital and get more money?
Yeah, and then sue them, and then now you're getting a bunch of, yeah. So, I don't know. It sounds weird, but like, I could get a life insurance policy on you.
Do
like
I have to
personal,
know?
Personal.
Would I be informed?
I don't think you have to know.
I'm going to have to look.
That's a breach of privacy.
There was
into it. But basically, if I'm paying, if I'm going like, hey, a business part, you know, whatever. I'm not really sure of like if they do have to know about it, but you could say they know about
I'm not
it.
Sure if... If they do have to know or not, I thought they did because
I think we've talked like about this before.
Well, I know
I'm
that
sure
they.
It's a pretty reoccurring theme in murder.
Yeah, back in the early 1900s, and I mean, I'm sure back into the 1800s, they had an issue with people taking out life insurance policies on just random homeless people, and then they'd murder the homeless person and collect on it.
Yeah.
And that was a pretty good
racket.
So
you're saying they probably changed some kind of...
I think they changed it because of that. But I know that Walmart still takes out life insurance policies on all of their employees. So any employee that dies while working for Walmart, they get a payout for it.
Yeah.
For a business, it makes more sense, though.
For business, it makes sense. Maybe they changed... Ruben is yelling at the screen right now. Because talk about a nerd that knows a bunch of dumb shit. But yeah, maybe they change policies in that the person has to know about it. Or if they don't know about it, maybe the premiums, like it's higher. Because they're supposed to be able to talk to you and find out health. And they need to know, like, is this person literally in the hospital about to die? And you're just getting, do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Your spouse
so they
doesn't
have
to
know.
Yeah, apparently. Because I'm sure that some of the cases that we've covered,
well, they
took out. I think
they forged some stuff, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, most likely.
Yeah, but anyway,
who would have thought somebody who's okay with committing murder and insurance fraud will
would
also
like fake
forge
a signature?
Signature?
I know, it's crazy.
Monsters.
Monsters.
So he took out life insurance policies on both of his children worth $10,000 each, which is the equivalent of $60,000 in 2024. In September of that year, Ronald added two more insurance policies, each worth $20,000. And I'll make a note that at this point, the insurance company was going like, wait, dude, you already took one out. Why do you need another? It's like, no, just.
Okay, so even the insurance company, but by the way, their questions go as far as the money coming in.
Yeah. Do you have enough money to pay for that?
Exactly. Okay. Hey, man. Whoa. Oh, okay. Do you know what I mean? Like, you're going to pay? Great.
Yeah. Then only a few days before Halloween, he took out a third policy on each child. So each one of his children was now worth, each child was now worth $60,000, which translates to nearly $400,000 after inflation in 2024.
What?
That would do it, wouldn't it, Ron?
No red
that
flags.
That would do it.
That'll definitely.
Grieve with the wife, rich. Everything's taken care of. Mm-hmm. The biggest issue Ronald had with life insurance is that somebody has to die for it to be collected. This meant that Timothy and Elizabeth were now worth more to Ronald dead than alive. As Dr. Phil has stated multiple times on his talk show, when a child becomes more valuable to you as a corpse, it's time to start shopping for cyanide and tiny coffins. I remember that. Yeah.
He's episode. Full of a lot of good advice.
Yeah.
He's
my gosh.
Really good advice.
My gosh. That's exactly what Ronald O'Brien did. In the summer of 1974, just a few months before Timothy's murder, Ronald contacted a friend of his that happened to be a chemist. Instead of asking him to make LSD at home, which would have probably been better idea, like a normal person, Ronald wanted to know how much cyanide it would take to kill someone. The chemist wasn't the last person Ronald would grill for information on poison.
So he's an idiot.
God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Call up your friend. Oh, I know we haven't talked since high school and everything. How you doing? You doing good? How much cyanide does it take to kill someone?
Really quick.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bud, how have you been? Good.
Want to help me kill my son?
Glad to hear it. What's up with
so you're a chemist,
cyanide,
chemist
right? Thing? Like how much would it just remember how we used to talk?
You know, we used to talk about it at lunch all the time when we were kids. What you used to say all the time, it was like the exact
and
amount.
What
that
was
it,
the unit? Like, what was the. I can't.
It was like this many grams per
yeah,
pound.
Yeah, yeah,
or something
yeah. It was
like
crazy.
That.
It was
wild
crazy.
Times back
you were
in
crazy.
Days.
What was it? Yeah. In the months leading up to Halloween, friends and coworkers began to notice that Ronald had taken up a particular interest in poison.
You gotta have your hobbies.
You should be like, this motherfucker. Now, if I were to like write a book on like all the things to do to get fucking caught,
yeah, right? Yeah. Not to do.
Yeah. So he's just in the break room. Yeah, man. You know.
Fucking love.
Oh,
poison.
Poison, right? What's your favorite? God,
partial
what a crazy! Like,
myself.
I'm sure everyone was just like, "Dude, what the fuck?"
Did you guys know it's actually called potassium cyanide,
I
not
know.
Just cyanide?
I know. just read about that.
It's
yeah.
like finding out your parents have a first name too. You know, you never really think about it.
You never think about it. I'm a nerd. You know, I like to read about that kind of stuff. Passing along the information. Okay, Babs. Okay, Susan. Yeah, no, I'll see you later.
Babs.
It's got to be a Babs in the office, right?
Oh, there always is.
Is that an Indian name?
No, Barbara.
Oh, Barbara.
Short for Barbara.
I was thinking, I don't know, but Bible popped in my head. I haven't slept.
Okay. He has not slept. We've got to really reiterate that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ronald taking a particular interest in poison, cyanide in particular. He also contacted a local chemical salesman in an attempt to purchase cyanide, but changed his mind when he learned that 5 pounds was the smallest amount he could purchase, because that's fucking insane.
5 pounds?
What?
You don't need that much to kill a couple kids.
God,
Jesus Christ, what kind of racket are you running around here?
Jesus, can I just get a little pinch off that?
Can I just get like a sample? Do you give out samples?
Yeah. He wasn't about to waste money on 5 pounds of cyanide when he knew it took way less than that to kill a child. He was on a tight budge, after all. This guy is cool.
He is so good at this.
His police... I bet he was smooth, too, when he was talking.
Oh, God. If you've seen pictures of him, he looks like a smooth talker.
Do we not have pictures?
His name's Ronald O'Brien.
Ronald O'Brien put in Candyman, put in the man who killed Halloween.
Yeah, the man who killed Halloween will definitely
That'll probably
come up with
show
a picture
it. Okay, go ahead.
As police continued to investigate Ronald O'Brien, they uncovered more and more incriminating evidence. It would appear that he was about as good at keeping a secret as he was at keeping a job, because when it comes to making rookie mistakes, Ronald was a pro.
Oh, shit.
Less than 12 hours after his son's death, this is the following morning after his son just suddenly died, Ronald contacted the insurance company to ask about claiming the life insurance money. He was so excited about getting that fat payout, he told his wife's family about the vacation he planned on taking and all the new toys that he was going to use the money to buy. They found it in poor taste, considering that he brought this up during the funeral.
Bro.
This is what he was talking to his sister and brother-in-law about during the funeral, is the vacation that he was going to go on and the stuff that he was going to buy with the insurance money.
You know,
not even talking about paying off the debts, by the way.
No. Because how did he get in debt? By being a piece of shit with money. Do you think it was going to change if he got more of it, just like dropped in his account?
You always think that if you get a big chunk of money, you're going to change your ways.
Because he was going to find a way to kill the other fucking kid, and then he would pay off with that, right?
Yeah.
I
swear that next kid, I'm going to pay everything off. Just, you know, give me another month.
Yes. You know, I think about too often to be normal, the amount of time you should wait to call. Do you know what I mean? Where it's like, what is the right time to call the insurance?
Oh.
Do you know what I mean? Clearly that, after the funeral, I would say.
At least wait until the funeral.
What if he can't pay for the funeral?
What do you reckon?
Oh, no. So, yeah.
There's no way he could probably pay for even the funeral. So he's like, what up?
And that's, I know that a lot of times that's what people will get life insurance specifically to cover, is just funeral expenses and... So I guess it would be normal to...
What, you reckon 2 weeks?
I don't know. How long does it take to get somebody in the ground? So, I mean, I'd be putting a rush order on that coffin if I had to wait.
How long would it take for people to be like, okay, that's inappropriate?
Yeah, what's the...
Do you know what I mean? And I'm not...
What's too long?
And I'm just...
Just spitballing. Just asking questions. There's nothing wrong with that.
It's in the case.
Yeah, I mean, this is information that other people want to know, too. I think the trick would be have a lawyer with power of attorney taking care
doing
of that.
Doing it.
Have them, because they can Smart. Contact yep, them next
there
morning.
There it is.
Be like, look, I'm just trying to get their affairs in order. I don't want to trouble the family. They need the money for the funeral expenses.
Coop, you would fucking rule at murdering, dude. Okay.
There he is.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
boy.
Look at that slick talker.
Oh, boy, like, you don't trust. I mean, it was of the era, right? Like, that's how dads looked. But
yeah,
now
strangely.
We go.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh,
tell Look me that guy can't sell ice to an Eskimo.
I don't know, guys.
God damn.
It's a fucking really great shot, though, too.
Yeah, it's like straight out of a horror movie.
Yeah. Like, through the glass.
If I looked like that, I wouldn't trust myself with my own children.
No. If I looked in the mirror,
the
I'd be
glasses.
Like, I got it.
I'm up to something.
Yeah, I better go.
If he had a mustache, though, you guys, I see the similarities.
Worked for me.
Mm.
With you and, no, with Jesse. So.
Yeah, if I had a mustache. There he is.
Yeah.
Woken up.
Got his second
the
wind.
The drugs have kicked in, and we are good to go.
So by this point, it wasn't just the police that thought Ronald murdered his son. Even his own wife suspected he was responsible for Timothy's death.
What a piece of shit.
According to her testimony to the police, Timothy didn't even like pixie sticks all that much. The only way he would have chosen that particular candy out of all the other candy that he had would be if somebody coerced him or encouraged him to
what
take
about
it.
This one?
Are you sure this pixie stick's looking pretty good? Custom packaging. Nice shiny new staple in there.
Fuck.
The only person that believed Ronald was innocent was Ronald himself. He was his only ally.
Yeah.
He probably didn't even like himself all that much.
God, I mean, I even think about him at work just talking about cyanide constantly. Like, nobody fucking liked this guy, dude.
How would you not instantly call the police? You see that fucking guy? Yeah. Hey, guys, you ever heard about cyanide? Hey.
They named a band after it.
Yeah.
Poison.
I don't know. In less than a month, the police had enough evidence to make an arrest. On November 5th, 1974, Ronald O'Brien was arrested and indicted on one count of capital murder and four counts of attempted murder. His trial began the following year on May 5th, 1975. During the trial, the prosecution had no problem finding people willing to testify against him. Babs, Sues.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Everyone from the office.
Fucking hated this guy.
Yeah.
I'll even lie and say that he did it if it just gets him out of the fucking lunchroom.
Absolutely. I cannot.
He's got that dumb look on him, even when he was younger.
Right? He looks like, well, an old-timey bank robber or something.
Yeah,
like
and he's made so many, like, really crazy mistakes that I'm wondering, you know, if we've got a little not so much
touched in the head
going on up there. TBI. You know what I mean? A TBI.
At the very least.
Yeah. So God, his wife.
And I think everybody did. Nobody wore helmets.
I think they called it a mongoloid back then.
Yeah, they did.
He's got that look going for him.
They definitely did. His wife, her siblings, his coworkers, of course, and the two chemists all gave statements to the police incriminating Ronald.
Would have been nice if somebody said something just a little bit sooner, though.
Yeah. It would have been cool for them to be like, dude, it's a lot.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And they're like, what? Well, what's going on? It's just, I mean, every fucking day he's talking about cyanide and killing people. And how much is going to take, and like, he thinks it's funny. I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah, you would think at some point somebody would say, this is getting a little creepy.
But the people, like the chemists he was calling, I think he knew, for example, like they were maybe a little shady. The people at work.
Oh, right. That would make sense. Well, I mean, especially during the 70s, the whole thing about LSD, that's where all of the LSD was coming from, was chemists making it in their homes.
Bathtubs, right? Yeah. So you call a bathtub chemist, he's not going to be like trying to talk to the police. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, all the defense had to fall back on was Ronald's insistence that he was innocent. Cool. And the claim that people handed out poison candy on Halloween. So he almost kind of started the hysteria by being like, I'm innocent. Like, people hand out poison candy. It was not me. This is something that you guys need to be worried about and look into.
There had been a story going around about the mad poisoner back in the like early to mid 1900s. So a good 30, 40 years before this happened. But even then,
which
it was like,
how he got the idea.
It's an urban legend. It's a kid's story. And it was a one-time thing.
Right. With that kind of defense, it's safe to assume he had a public defender, right? Come on.
Seriously.
It wasn't me. That's the only defense. What's up? I didn't do it.
Your Honor, my client says that it wasn't him. Is that good enough?
The defense rests. Okay. The trial concluded on June 3rd, and within 2 hours, Ronald had a room booked on death row. Yeah, bitch.
Oh, shit. He got death row?
Took
40 minutes for the jury to find him guilty, and then another 60 to 70 minutes to sentence him to death.
And it's because of everything that went along with it. So it was such a well-known case. You ruined Halloween. All these parents are worried about everybody passing out. It was...
And he's not
all
sad about
this
it.
Encompassed into this story, right?
And
so they
kept
were like
bugging the jury with questions about cyanide. Just wouldn't.
Yeah,
shut
he
up
was
about
like,
it.
"Hey, what's up?
Hey. You ever heard of this cyanide stuff?
How much?" Booked on death row, where he was given a warm welcome as a child killer, and we all know how it goes for people convicted of crimes against children. And
even
I think he
then,
was treated
like
even worse because it was his own child.
Yeah.
Like in the levels of that, when it's your own
in
kid.
In rape culture?
Yeah.
I guess in prison culture. Gary has a friend that kind of knows all of that stuff that I wanted to talk about it.
Yeah.
Talk with at some point. He has a pretty big podcast. And will be able to tell us like exactly what all of these levels really get you.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Right?
Yes.
That'd be so cool.
So yeah, he's supposed to be moving here or coming back, but we're going to get him on and kind of go through our favorites and be like, what happened to this fucking guy?
Yes. Oh right? My God.
Because all we know, I'm not going to say it. I'll say it later, but all we know that happens to them.
Yeah.
Right.
All the good
stuff. I'll say it at the end, but yeah. So after nearly a decade of abuse from fellow inmates and multiple failed appeals, it was time for him to meet his maker. He had gotten a couple different execution dates that the appeals kind of pushed off a little bit, but not really.
Yeah, the first one was they kicked it down the road a little ways, because the first one was sometime in 1980, and they got that one moved, and I think the second one was in 82, and then they moved
just
to,
by filing the appeal. All the appeals were shot down immediately, but if you file and it kind of gets caught up in the whatever, you can kind of get it pushed. But
when they set the 1984 date, he had run out of appeals, so he was waiting for a last minute stay and didn't get it.
At midnight on March 31st, 1984, Ronald Clark O'Brien was executed by lethal injection. His final meal consisted of a T-bone steak, fries, corn, sweet peas, and a salad.
You should have given him pixie sticks.
Pixie sticks.
That's what I was saying. His last words were as follows.
What is about to transpire in a few moments is wrong. However, we as human beings do make mistakes and errors. This execution is one of those wrongs. Yet it doesn't mean our whole system of justice is wrong. Therefore, I would forgive all who have taken part in any way in my death. Also, to anyone I have offended in any way during my 39 years, I pray and ask for your forgiveness, just as I forgive anyone who offended me in any way.
What the fuck?
Then he went on for a little bit longer after that, but fuck him.
What the fuck? That is like the worst. He's, like, in the world of last words, that is the fucking worst I've ever heard.
All he's doing in here is shirking responsibility and then plagiarizing the Lord's Prayer.
But saying, like, I'm sorry. I am sorry. But this is wrong. I didn't do anything wrong. But if I did, I am sorry. And I hope that I didn't offend you. And I'll forgive you if you offended me.
Yeah.
But I'm good with it. And I'm sorry if I offended you. But all this is fucked up.
It is such a fucking narcissistic.
But the justice
thing.
System, it's still cool.
He went on for like at least another paragraph after that.
God damn it.
And then at the very end of it, he's like, oh, one last thing. The correction facility has been pretty nice to me. Okay, you can kill me.
He had something.
Yeah.
Something was up.
Maybe he was microdosing cyanide.
It would be
cyanide.
Sweet if his last words were like, does anyone know? Cyanide. How much though I need to know in grams? I've been asking for years and no one can tell me.
I mean, I found out after the fact that I used like four times too much.
I used enough to kill like three humans in each pixie stick, dude. I could have like A, saved money, B, like just put a tiny bit in there. And this is insane. This is why I was asking you people about it.
Nobody would answer.
And no one fucking tell me.
But I forgive you.
And I forgive you. And it's,
I forgive you.
It's not your fault. It's not my
wrong,
fault.
But it's wrong and it's not my fault. But I'm sorry if it was.
If it
but
was.
It's not. But it's not. And this is fucked up. But I get it. And I like get it, you know?
Facility's nice.
It would have been sweet if it was October 31st with a fucking pixie stick full of cyanide.
Oh, God.
Why?
Oh.
Why can't we do that Deep kind of shit?
Justice.
We can do pixie
sticks.
And invite
everyone from the fucking neighborhood or everyone that was like, their fucking Halloween has been ruined ever since. They're just like, yeah, dude. Like,
I'll do it.
You'll do it? Okay.
Yeah, just help me get some cyanide.
Hey, man.
Every day at work for the next couple months.
What's weird is like, it is something you'd have to ask before Google.
Yeah.
You'd have to be like, bro, what?
Yeah, you don't want to Google it. It's your first mistake.
But he can't. It's 1974. He literally can only ask, like, Jeeves. Everyone he knows.
He's got to go to the library, dude.
He's got to go to the library.
But back then, Jeeves is a real person.
Yeah, no, Jeeves.
You have to find
Yeah.
It's hard to track down.
It was someone you worked with.
When I was doing the research for this episode, I got all the way through the sentence of where to buy cyanide because I was trying to, you know, get more info to throw into the right. notes. And then as soon as I read it, I was like, just yeah. in case something happens in the future, I'll delete
yeah.
that one.
Yeah, can't really do that. Yeah.
yeah.
I'm sure this show has ruined all of, I mean, he had to get a whole new laptop because yeah. they were after him, dude. Like the things that you guys have to look up for this show is like,
oh yeah,
just don't kill anyone, I guess.
Yeah, I started thinking about that a whole lot more. Like just after I typed in that sentence in Google
yeah.
and changed my mind, I'm like, oh fuck, what else have I typed in there? I mean, there's the yeah. stuff that I search for myself and then the stuff I search for the show, and both of them are bad.
One's worse.
That's
it's not
sure.
the show
no,
stuff.
No, it's not.
Yeah, I search a lot for the photos when I was
yeah.
putting the photos up in post. It's like, what about her dead on her yeah. back? What about dead in the forest?
Dead on her back.
What about Kimberly murdered
yeah.
by that? Like, just,
yeah,
yeah. Tools, why is it so large. Hard to find a picture of a child with their throat
I
slit?
I know, my God.
And I don't actually use Google for any other reason.
Yeah,
I'm not trying to learn.
It's just that.
All that stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, sorry, guys. Again, I have life insurance policies. On all of you, so we're all good, right? Like I yeah. have the life insurance, you guys have the Google search. It'll be a Mexican standoff, you know what I mean? Like
I'm bringing
tell me
sticks.
Who fucking murdered who. We should yeah so for the
next
actual
show.
Halloween
yeah
episode, you need to bring the biggest ones you could find because you're yeah. trying to tell us there's bigger.
Big ones. They're like 2 feet.
But where are you getting
yeah
it would, must have been at the fair. I think it
had to be.
I think it was the fair.
Yeah,
that's I ate the whole slam the whole thing. It was awesome.
You're made
so, anyways,
of material than the rest of us.
There's less sugar in those than Kansas soda. I just read it because
oh, yeah,
yeah, because it's like thicker or something. It's dry version, like the dry powder.
No, because I think
fills up the
oh,
space.
Yeah,
yeah,
that makes sense.
And I think it is just straight sugar as opposed to all the other components that make it.
I should have fucking.
So I mean, I guess as long as you don't put any cyanide in it, pixie sticks are pretty healthy.
Yeah, I think is what we learned, mm-hmm. right? And what I was going to say earlier is like, we're from Gary's friend, we're going to find out really what happens to people mm-hmm. in prison, depending on what they've done, instead of just assuming every time. There's just a prolapse, you know what I mean? Every time we just go, I wonder what happened to him in prison, prolapse. We're going to have to ask him the amount that happens, right?
How far out?
How far out, depending on the crime.
Can it reach the ground?
If you do this to your own kid, I think, yeah.
Yeah.
Right? What'd you got? What'd you?
13 grams of sugar in each pixie stick.
It's actually not fucking bad.
Yeah, that is.
Okay,
bad.
So you're thinking of the little.
That's the. That's the 0.5 ounce straws.
Yeah, so that's the little paper ones.
So those are, and then the 14 inch ones are 42 ounces. So.
42 grams.
42 grams of.
It would be, so 5 ounces is 13 grams. The bigger Ooh. Straws are 42 ounces. 0.42
oh,
ounces.
Shit, dude.
Holy shit.
So yes. the big ones are alive.
Yeah. Bro. Okay.
But I can't do that math. Coop, you can do the math.
Don't look at me. I've
basically,
been a math guy.
Like 40 times 5.
Yeah, basically it's a lot. There's no way to know. There's no way to find out. There's no way to know.
No, it's...
So unfortunately, there's no way to know the real answer.
2000.
No, I don't think that science has figured that one out yet. Science
Unfortunately,
really,
we're just not there yet.
Yeah,
2 million.
You know? Science really hasn't advanced in mathematics since like the Middle Ages.
Anyways, happy Halloween. Our next episode is going to be the episode. It's a good one.
It's a real good one.
It's a good one. It's a banger. We're going to dress up. I guess I'm going to do JonBenet. I've said it out loud. I've got to do it now.
Yep, got to say it now. I got to figure out something to wear.
Okay, So you're saying pageant mom.
Or I could go with the easiest one. I could dress up as Ed Kemper.
Yes.
I probably have that wardrobe at home right now.
Do that one. What's yours? Has to be a little bit offensive, but cool.
I want to be someone that Ed Kemper killed.
Who's the metal guys? The metal guys that killed each other. And
shit. I want to be dead or something. I want to have like blood or shit.
You could be dead from mayhem.
Oh yeah, I have to grow my hair out for that.
There's wigs.
I think I got a
Halloween is a good time to get wigs.
Oh,
but where do they sell them?
Gosh, no one knows.
Yeah,
no one.
It's another thing, like math, it's a mystery.
Math and where to get wigs. All right, well, Joel will be Joel with like blood coming out of the side of his mouth.
Real blood, though. I don't wear costumes.
So between now and then, you have to get tuberculosis.
No,
a guy.
I'll kill someone and use their blood for my costume.
Oh.
Yeah.
Works.
That took a turn.
Or I just cut myself.
That took a turn.
Equally emo.
You should be razor blade dude. Just have a bunch of, like we said, a bunch of apples with
apple with razor blades in it.
Yeah. Done. Don't know how you're gonna do that at all. Literally the hardest fucking costume that you could think of, and he's doing it.
I already got it figured out.
Damn. You could be a pro.
This October, Tanger invites you to shop pink and save lives. Your donation of $10 or more to the Breast Cancer Research Foundation helps fuel innovative research that brings us closer to a cure. It also unlocks exclusive savings from brands like Coach, Crocs, Columbia Factory Store, and more to shop all month long. Join us as we mark 30 years of advancing research and empowering hope. Donate and access your exclusive savings today at Tanger.com.
Your Honor, we the jury find the defendant Sweet Tango Apples guilty on all counts of being the crispiest, sweetest, zestiest, most delicious tasting apple you can buy.
Order! Order in this courtroom! Bailiff, come back here. Where are you going?
I'm going with them. I want some Sweet Tango Apples too.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at SweetTango.com.